You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 17 July. We've got UK inflation due 8 a.m. expected 1.9%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Jimmy Moyoha on that Richmond update. They called it resilient, which I suppose is frankly the best, but it does, by being resilient, it suggests that they think maybe the rich are under pressure. Bruce Williamson from Integral Asset Management, the demand story for chrome in which PGM miner is best positioned. And then we're going to be chatting with our prescient economist. Looking ahead to MPC announcement tomorrow, but when are we going to first cut? Is it going to be tomorrow, September, November, or do we wait for next year? This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Two-pot, only 58% of funds have submitted rule changes. Deadline for submission has been extended to end July. Business Day, IMF keeps SA's forecast unchanged for GDP at 0.9%, global growth at 3.2% for the year. Morning markets, US was green overnight, S&P up 0.6%, NASDAQ up 0.1%. The East is mostly green, Sydney 0.4% higher, Tokyo up 0.1%, Hong Kong up a couple of points, and Tencent down 1.9%. Commodities also mostly green. Gold, 2,470. Brent is red at 83.67. Platinum, 1,014. Palladium, 966. The Rand is 18.05. Bitcoin, 65,600. And top 40 opening call, 1920 points, which is 0.03% to the upside.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moyoha, independent analyst. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning, the quarter ending June for Richmond. They referred to it as resilient in the headline, and I suppose that's probably the best way. Change in constant rates plus 1% and actual rates minus 1%. Lots of moving parts, but the resilience suggests that they've seen sort of pressure out there and managing to manage it perhaps.
Yeah, morning, Simon. I think two things are important to note here when we look at this Richmond update is, one, we're coming off an exceptionally high base in the previous year, and that would obviously suggest that in an ordinary market cycle where demand does tend to slow down, you'll see a slowdown in demand. So to be able to achieve consistent results after having done a 19% increase in the prior year is very telling of a resilient product and resilient market and resilient presence within your various markets. The second point is, of course, that where we look at the resilience and we look at the performance of Richmond in this particular quarter, the business is doing well. It was just their Chinese demand or the Chinese side of the business that let them down. The Japanese business is doing well. The European business is doing well. The Americas, every other region is performing well, with the exception of the Chinese, Hong Kong, and Macau region, which were the driving regions behind the increase in the prior year anyway. So I think it's less of a story around the pressure being placed on the rich per se, and more around pressure being placed on the Chinese consumption side of things.
And I suppose that's the point of being a true global business. I mean, they really are. I mean, in the sense of like an Apple, where you can buy an iPhone or MacBook anywhere. Same here with their Cartier and the like. And you're going to have regions that don't perform. I mean, as you point out, Asia Pacific was down 18%. Japan, on the flip side, was up 59%.
Absolutely. So when you have that diversification across your client base, across your geographical location, it does lend itself to benefits when there are slower times. But by and large, when you look at the performance of the Richmond businesses or the Richmond regions, there's still a very clear sign that the rich are still okay, the rich are still experiencing, or those that spend on their products are still in a comfortable position, with the exception of the Chinese consumer. But again, the Chinese consumer is facing a different set of challenges at this stage. And I spoke about this set of challenges when we were looking at the Chinese banking system with a banking analyst recently, to say that what's happening in China right now is as a result of the property crisis that's now led to defaults, and these non-performing loans are putting pressure on the Chinese consumer because they put money into the property sector that they now can't get out. So the Chinese consumer is under strain, whether they're a low, medium, or high income earner, and that's what's been driving the negativity there. But the Richemont business was able to offset that by other regions and other consumers performing exceptionally well.
Yeah, and I take your point. And it is that Chinese property sort of rippling through the global economy and making it all the way to luxury watches. We leave it there. Jimmy Muyaha, independent analyst, always appreciate the early morning.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Bruce Williamson, Integral Asset Management. Bruce, appreciate the time. I got to say, chrome, I mean, there'd been some chrome miners on the JSE, but recently it had gone quiet until it was Pablo Fertitti's there, Teresa Vulcan chrome plant. I was chatting with Jubilee Minerals recently. Suddenly, chrome is a big story. It's in demand. China seems to be the big market, and prices have been looking quite good recently.
Hi, Simon, and good day to your listeners as well. Yeah, chrome has come into the fore, whereas its sort of sister metals, the PGMs, have taken a fair amount of pressure in the last 2 years. Chrome is in big demand, and I think it's essentially driven, as you mentioned, by China. Remember that China are doing a lot to clean up their old polluting industries, and much of that came from dirty iron ore and dirty ferrochrome. And you're seeing new plants being built, and these guys need to secure supply. You're running smelters, it's got to be 24/7. And South Africa have about 70% of world chrome reserves. With our neighbor Zimbabwe, we've got another big chunk. So they come looking to South Africa for chrome.
It's a byproduct. And my understanding, we were chatting before we came online, my understanding is that, I mean, chrome is a byproduct of PGMs, but no one really cared about it. But now you've got these giant tailings that in some cases are very rich in chrome. So this is an easy win for the PGM miners.
Okay. In some cases, it's a byproduct. Mm-hmm. Remember that there are three main chrome seams, the LG, the lower group, the middle group, the MGs, and the UG upper group. Now, the dedicated chrome miners mine the LGs and the MGs. Mm-hmm. That's a higher grade chrome in situ grade, and that goes into the ferrochrome business. And then the UG2, which in situ is, call it 20% chrome, too low for the chrome guys, but it has about 5 odd grams per ton platinum. So the platinum miners have mined the UG2 chrome seam for a long time. The guys who are standing to benefit now are the ones who mined the chrome, processed the UG2, put the chrome onto the tailings for 20, 30 years, and sold the PGMs. Now they are able to take those chrome tailings, which are lying there, costed and paid for, and they can sell a concentrate of about 40-42%, which is in huge demand by the Chinese.
It's almost essentially then free, because as you say, that tailings is being paid for. There's some cost of running the plant. I imagine their biggest challenge is perhaps logistics, because getting it to port, this isn't a PGM or a gold which you can pop in a helicopter.
Correct. It's a bulk, so it's got to go out. On mine, you're correct, is that costs are marginal. It's between 95 and 98% profit on this recycled UG2, but it's got to be trucked out. Now, some years back, 80% of our chrome went out by rail. Now 80% goes out by truck. And we all know that's because of Transnet.
Yeah.
And the port's just not functioning as well as they could and should. And so the big beneficiaries are mines. And out of the four big ones, Northam is the biggest beneficiary because it has got a fairly high ratio of chrome concentrates in terms of about 1.3 million tons of chrome concentrates that it can produce and sell per annum versus 1 million ounces. So the chrome to PGM ratio is very beneficial. Others don't have as much chrome versus their higher PGM levels. So Northam is the one in my book that it stands to benefit most. And this last 6 months, their contribution of chrome to revenue has gone from 1.7% 2 years ago to just over 12% in the 6 months to December 23. And it'll probably go to about 18% of their revenue, a very, very big chunk of their profit.
And that's the point, I suppose, is that the PGM prices are under pressure. Make no mistake about that. But they've been rising their chrome production, and that's become so important. And of course, one day PGMs go back up, but that chrome is still there. And perhaps as an industrial, it's maybe a little less volatile for earnings.
Yes, it's become far more important because we've had a massive pullback in palladium and rhodium in particular. Mm-hmm. Platinum has gone nowhere for a number of years. They're all in very, very low territory. But the chrome now is a nice sweetener. As I said in my book, Northam is the major beneficiary. The others are not going to benefit as much. Sure, there'll be some extra revenue. And going forward, one is hopeful that this new build that of ferrochrome smelters in China will keep the demand. You know, once you run that smelter, you want to lock in that supply. You know the quality, you know the consistency. You're dealing with proper suppliers. You know, I think that's pretty safe revenue for these guys.
Okay, good for the PGM miners and Northam, the pick there. Bruce Williamson, Integral Asset Management. Always appreciate the time.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Hannah Demogri, Prescient Investment Managers, Management Quantitative Analyst and Economist. Hannah, appreciate the early morning time. We've got our MPC Monetary Policy Committee meeting starts today, announcement tomorrow afternoon. I think every consumer in South Africa is hoping that we get a rate cut, but I think the expectation is almost certainly that there will be no change. Is there any hope that the governor could give us a surprise tomorrow?
Good morning, Simon. Thank you so much for having me this morning. That's a very good question. As the model that the Reserve Bank uses is actually indicating that rate cuts should have already happened earlier on this year. So they use a quarterly projection model, which is basically what the interest rates ought to be in the current state of the economy. However, the Reserve Bank has communicated that risks still remain balanced, inflationary risks. So while we see that the drivers of past inflation, the recent past inflation, have been food and fuel and maybe some production costs, these drivers have come down quite nicely. We do see some household utility inflation risks still, and maybe some admin costs are still going to occur this inflationary print. Additionally, they have communicated that they are definitely not going to cut rates until headline inflation has securely come down to 4.5%, which it's at about 5.4% at the moment. So at Prescient Investment Management, we don't see the rate cuts coming until headline inflation is at 4.5%.
And that's the key point. Our target is 3-6, but the governor always refers to that 4.5. That is a number which he wants us as consumers to fixate on and employers and employees to fixate on, and certainly that's the number that he cares most about.
Yes, exactly. There has been some mention about bringing that number, the midpoint of that band. So the way inflation targeting works is that we are in a band between 3 and 6%, like a safe band, and we're always targeting the midpoint of that. However, there has been some talk about maybe bring that target value down to 3%. Yeah. So by about, and that would basically mean that would be a long-term strategy that has been done in the past. So when South Africa's inflation regime shifted to become an inflationary target band, all that they did was just keep interest rates at the same rate, which was a little bit elevated for a little bit longer. So instead of keeping interest rates where they are now until we reach 4.5, they would keep them in place until we reach 3. And that would basically mean in the long run that there would be lower nominal interest rates, which would be great news for us. And then also it would make South Africa more competitive and in line with our global peers when it comes to inflation targeting. However, they haven't communicated that this is exactly what we're going to be targeting. So for now, we're going to hope for a 4.5%, that when we reach 4.5%, that interest rates will start coming down.
But maybe, and I take your point, and certainly I think everyone would appreciate a 3% target more than a 4.5%. Of course, we have to get there. Could they then maybe, I don't know, be a little softer on the rate cuts and almost to let it slide to that 3% and then kind of say, look, we're here, why don't we take the benefit of it?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, if we see, let's say, a cosmetic cut in the US, there's no reason why we could have a cosmetic cut in South Africa as well. However, I think that they would probably communicate that very clearly to South Africa. I think the Reserve Bank would communicate very clearly. So we'd know at all times what's going on.
And on the US, so we've got a July meeting at the end of the month in the US and then September as well. And we've got the FT this morning reporting that Donald Trump has said to Jerome Powell, basically, if you want to keep your job, no rate cuts ahead of the election. Let's park Trump and that aside. Is the MPC keeping half an eye on the FOMC, or are we completely independent of what's happening in the US, given that the expectation is the US will start cutting at some point?
So South Africa, the South African Reserve Bank is completely independent from what's happening in the US. The thing that's important to understand is that South Africa is a small open economy. And so naturally, we are exposed to global shocks. So we could see that when the Ukraine-Russia war broke out, our grain prices increased a lot because the Ukraine is a major grain trader with us. And they supply most of our grain. So that pushed our inflation up a lot, and the Reserve Bank had to respond to that. The Reserve Bank looks at shocks. So of course, they look at inflation expectations, and then they also domestic shocks and global shocks. And these shocks are separated into two categories of maybe a transient shock. So is it more short-term? That would be thing like weather. So did this hot end of the summer now, is that gonna maybe put a little bit of pressure on our food prices, or more permanent shocks, so structural shocks such as hopefully the release of some JAFECRA funds to be allocated to our logistics sector and the energy sector. Hopefully those will give some reform into that load shedding maybe kept down for a while. So putting all of these together, and then you also have to look at global, transient and permanent shocks, and putting all of that together, making a big picture, that's how the Reserve Bank decides what to do with interest rates.
Got your point. Way more than any one particular point. A lot of moving parts. We'll leave that there. Really appreciate the early morning time. That was Hannah de Nobrega. She is Prescient Investment Managers, quantitative analyst and economist. Our poll today, chatting there around the rates. What's your expectation? Do you think we'll get tomorrow, September, maybe only in November? Heck, maybe only next year. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. I was chatting with Sean Dendery yesterday from Thrive South Africa, talking local construction stocks. It was a decent update from Murray and Roberts. They got a $200 million contract in Latin America. We asked if this was a sector that you felt had opportunity. Just over 40% said nope, you're staying far away. A third said selectively yes. Sean's pick was Robex. The rest were saying, yeah, there is some great value here. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Disney.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.